the courts really have a mandate to serve all people equally in our state. And by focusing on access to justice, this new department will really aid our courts in responding effectively to the public and really creating an environment where the public can use the courts effectively to solve a legal problem or to take care of the business that they need to do in our courts. So I think it reflects a real commitment on the part of Chief Judge Barbera and our courts to really enhance the public's experience of the courts.
Talking about civil trials here, correct?
That's correct. That's the area where people often are having to represent themselves, not all the time, but many people represent themselves in civil case types and often have to navigate the courts on their own. This is an area where the courts really can create some innovations and improve their experience.
So if I'm involved in a civil lawsuit, either as a plaintiff or as a defendant, how does this program change the way the suit is handled? How is this going to impact me?
Well, in part, we'll be guided by the judiciary and the committee structure of the judiciary and their priorities. But if you are navigating the courts on your own, perhaps you're involved in a family case or involved in a consumer law matter or a landlord-tenant matter in our district courts, you may need some assistance in determining what your first step should be, whether you have a cause of action, or where to begin. So one of the things we'll be doing is continuing the development of written material, multimedia materials, and resources for people who are representing themselves in our courts. We'll also be aiding the courts in expanding its network of self-help centers. These are places where individuals can come and get some legal assistance and help in representing themselves in court, using the correct court forms they'll need to start their case, preparing for a trial, getting the information they need ready so that they can do a good job when they have to tell their story to the courts. We'll also be working with the courts on language access issues. A new part of our department will be our court interpreter program, which provides foreign language and ASL interpreters for individuals who need that, as well as translation services. And it'll give us a chance to plan really develop a good process to help people who have limited English proficiency use the courts.
So this does not provide, this is not like a free legal representation kind of thing, but what it will do is it sounds like it's going to make it, I'm going to know what forms to fill out, I'm going to just sort of help me, it's going to help me navigate the process, correct?
That's correct. We do have some resources in place. This new department will bring those resources together and allow us to think strategically and really develop the resources and make them available and make sure the public is aware of them as well.
Does this all take effect, and how do people access this?
Well, some of those resources I mentioned are in place. A good place to start is by going to the court's website, which is mdcourts.gov.
And those resources, and then more of those resources are going to be added as the year moves on? Because I understand you already had the Access to Justice Commission, so I guess this is going to replace that?
Well, this is the way the court has decided to institutionalize some of those changes. This gives us an opportunity to really make them a permanent part of court operations. So some of the innovative ideas that came out of our commission are now becoming a regular part of court operations, and that's a significant new commitment on the part of the judiciary.
You mentioned that in a number of civil cases and family cases, people often represent themselves. How often is that? I mean, is there a percentage of the number of cases where people represent themselves? And presumably they do this because they feel they can and they feel they can save money. But do you have any indication? Is this like the majority of cases? Is it a third? You know, that sort of thing.
Well, I don't have very current data, but I do know in family law cases, for example, in divorce and custody cases, in many of our courts, at least 70% of those cases involve at least one person who does not have a lawyer. So it's a very significant number. And in many of the case types that involve, for example, small claims, landlord-tenant matters, many domestic violence cases, people are, again, self-represented. So it's often because they can't afford an attorney, and our civil legal services programs in the state are in such high demand that they're only able to meet the need of some people, but not all.